Liam, do you like free shit?
Yeah.
Do you like gay people? Mm. All right. Well, you should enter our giveaway.
Woo! That's right, everyone. We have a giveaway for the month of Pride. We're going to be giving away some really awesome stuff. What are they going to be getting, Chase?
So for our giveaway, we have teamed up with independent queer creators because the corporations have enough fucking money.
Yes.
And we are giving away 200 smackaroonies worth of stuff.
Yeah, $200.
We are giving away one handmade knit market bag by Tiff Knits.
We've also got a gorgeous inclusive pride candle from Edith and Herbert.
Two custom enamel pins by Matt Hans, a local Vancouver artist.
As well as a digital portrait from Iconic Designs.
And then finally, because we can't get enough of ourselves, we are giving away one pack of 5 custom 2 servings of fruit stickers.
Yes, by Ally Modded by Maya.
Yes, Modded by Maya. She's not queer, but she's an ally. So to enter, we will have obviously the link in this description. All you have to do is enter your email and boom, you're in.
Boom. It's that easy.
And while you're there, you can follow the queer creators that we've teamed up with for extra points and extra entries.
As well, you can go check out some of their awesome work. Go support your local queer independent artists and us.
And of course us.
The winners will be announced by the end of the month.
So now, our episode.
Welcome to episode Legal Drinking Age in United States of America. 21! Hey Chase, what's 9 plus 10?
19.
You fucking idiot. It's 21.
What?
Jesus Christ.
Wait, what?
It's a meme. It's a meme. Have you ever heard of what a meme is?
No, I've never seen that meme.
It's a vine. What's 9 plus 10? 21. What's 9 plus 10?
19.
Chase has no fucking hands or legs.
Anyways,
everyone, welcome to Queer Roundtable number 2.
Live performance.
Yeah, of the song?
Yeah.
I forget how it goes.
Okay. We'll come back to that. We wanted to do 2 Queer Roundtables in Pride Month.
Yeah, because gay people rock, and it's Pride Month.
And, like, obviously we wanted to launch it in Pride Month, but it did really well. That episode did really well.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks for everyone who listened.
It was also just a good time.
Yeah, and it was really fun. They've been really fun to film.
Oopsie, sorry.
Whoa.
Earthquake, earthquake, earthquake.
They've been really fun to film, so I think we should do them semi-regularly.
Yeah, whenever the inkling strikes us.
Yeah, for sure.
Know, whenever the mood hits, like when you really want, like, Olive Garden, you know? Sometimes you just can't live without that shit in your body.
I think that's just you.
I don't think it's just me. It's a successful franchise. I don't think it's just me.
Who's on our round table today?
We've got Anjay, Gur, and Julieta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I guess, actually, only Julieta lives in Vancouver. The other two, East Coasters.
Tirana.
East Coasters.
Tirana.
Get me my coffee! That's my East Coast accent.
I don't know, where on the East Coast was that?
Tirana.
Okay, that's exactly how Anjay spoke.
Yep. Get me my bagels and coffee!
Jesus.
That sounds like the lady from Monsters, Inc. Mike Wazowski!
I've known Julieta since I was... Are you going to take a bite of that right now? Awesome. Anyways, since I was... 13, 14. So, old friend. It was so nice to see her again.
Aww.
Because she lived in Tijuana for a while.
Yeah, wow.
Crazy. And you know Anjay from?
UBC. Went to UBC. Yeah.
Anyways, it was a good chat. And
mm-hmm.
You're about to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Prepare everyone because it gets a little insane. Like, actually a little overwhelming. And it sometimes even... gut-wrenching. And at other times, you'll laugh and you'll cry.
You're about to cry right now.
Yeah.
What is going
I'm
on?
I'm so moved.
You're literally about to fucking cry right now.
Yeah, what? It's called living in the moment.
Whoa. Meryl Streep who?
Yeah. She... I'm not gonna say it.
Fuck. That was kind of freaked me out a bit. Anyways. Enjoy the show.
Woo!
So loud.
Are you ready to sweat, baby?
Welcome to the Queer Roundtable. The Queer Roundtable. It's a table full of brown queers. It's the Queer Roundtable where we answer all your questions for the queers. Welcome to the Queer Roundtable.
Ah, it's real. It's happening. Welcome to Queer Roundtable number 2 with some very special guests with us today. Why don't we all go around and introduce ourselves?
I'm Chase.
Yes.
I go by he, him, and I live in Vancouver, or close enough to Vancouver to say Vancouver.
Close enough, he says.
Hi, I'm Julieta Day, and I'm in Vancouver, BC. My pronouns are she, her. Thank you guys for having me today.
Welcome. We are so excited to have everyone here. My name's Liam. I am he, him. I live in Langley because that's honest. Actually, technically Surrey, so I am still lying. And
okay, cool.
And I think that's all I have to say, right? Yeah.
Good job.
Hi, you guys. My name's Gore. I go by he, him, and I live in Toronto, aka North York, aka not, I'm lying as well.
Hi, my name's Anjay. I go by he, him. I live in Toronto, but I'm from Vancouver, and I live in Toronto proper, not the GTA.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh, Anjay, he's your metal.
Flex.
So, my first question is something I like to ask everyone, and it's what's your go to cocktail?
Oh, I need love a that. Drink. Ooh. I love a good old vodka soda with some lemons.
That's kind of a boring answer.
It's a good one. Or a margarita.
There you go. I would go with the Singapore Sling. It's kind of like my go-to for sure. But not a lot of bars know how to make it though, so...
I was going to say, I am a bartender. I have no idea what that is.
Literally, what is that?
It's like basically orange juice with vodka, but with like some sort of like red liqueur mixed in it that's kind of like sweet.
Oh, that sounds really good.
I would definitely have to go with a gin and tonic. I know it's kind of basic, but it's also super classic and just like really good. Works in all settings.
Yeah. It's British in it.
It's a bit British.
It's a way bit British.
I like anything with elderflower. Empress, I'd say, is my favorite gin. Mm. If nothing fancy is available, a classic gin and tonic will do, absolutely.
Nice.
Mangostura bitters in there, and that's solid.
You guys drink like people who have taste. I drink like like I'm broke.
Just the vodka soda, you know, no big deal.
My go-to drink is the perfect drink. It's the most iconic drink, an Aperol Spritz. If you don't like an Aperol Spritz, you're an idiot.
Get out. Get out of here.
Not for me.
Yeah, everyone, let's kick out Chase. No, I'm kidding. Oh.
This is my Zoom.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone here has power to do that.
I didn't even give Liam the power to kick people out, so.
No.
I'm bad.
I didn't even have the link.
Yeah, Liam didn't have the link until 10 minutes ago, so.
Since that was a very light question, I'll give a good hearty one. If your friend's boyfriend was racist or homophobic, would you distance yourself from that friend?
Definitely.
So I initially read this as if your friend slash boyfriend was racist or homophobic, would you distance yourself from them? And I was like, well, yeah, I wouldn't date a racist or homophobic person. The challenge. But yeah, friend's boyfriend. I think that is I don't have a perfect answer for that.
I'd say I have an answer for that one. I'm definitely a fan of good communication. So I think that if a proper, honest dialogue were opened and this theme was discussed and there wasn't a conclusion to be reached, such as there wasn't an immediate identification of room for growth for the other party, then in that case, I think that it would be viable to distance myself. And I think that that goes for most people who share my values, which are obviously anti-racist and anti-homophobic, because you wouldn't allow a friend of yours to contaminate your life with these toxic ideologies. And this person is obviously very involved. So that ramification will eventually extend out into your life. And it's not helpful.
What a professional answer.
That was know, like, right?
Did you just so well. Think of that on the Winner! Spot? Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Mine was like, I don't know. Like, I don't, if I don't like that person.
I mean, honestly, we saw that whole thing going around where it's like a lot of people have been posting it on their Instagram stories too, where it's like, honey, if your boyfriend's homophobic, you're not an ally. That's literally what mm-hmm. I live by. So to me, I don't necessarily want to give people a chance to even have a conversation, because it's 2021. If that mm-hmm. person doesn't understand that that idealism of being with someone like that is like not okay, then bye bye. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends. I don't need to make more.
I think part of it says just something about your friend, or maybe I think what you were saying, Julieta, about just like having like a good strong communication, mostly with the friend. I think honestly it's easy to cut the boyfriend out of your life, because it's like,
yeah,
what do I care, I'm not dating you. But having mm-hmm. that like dialogue with your friend, like getting both, so they can see your perspective, you can see their perspective, and just being like, hopefully, you know, they can understand that what their partner is doing is not okay, and like mm-hmm. they can confront them on that. But if they're not even willing to bring that up as a conversation with their partner or with their boyfriend or whatever, then I think, yeah, that is like a like that draws mm-hmm. a bit of a line.
That's true.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think like, I don't know, I generally wouldn't, I feel like I wouldn't keep any friends in the first place who would like even put me in that situation. But like, yeah, if I was, you know, I think that's just like such a fundamental like mismatch of like values and principles. Like if they're willing yeah. to overlook that and their partner, it makes me question like everything about our friendship and like, like how do you really feel about me?
Yeah, that's very more true. That's like the page I'm on. I like the idea of having a nice civil conversation, but I don't know that I would, because like, what does it say about your friend that they got with this person in the first place?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think I would. I think I would distance for sure.
I think it's giving very like, everyone has their own opinion, but you can't have opinions on racism or homophobia. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think that's something that I've learned as a queer woman of color throughout the course of my life, is that a lot of these ideas are very insidious. So oftentimes these hateful rhetorics are not blatant or in your face, mm-hmm. but they're an underlying symptom of a much larger problem. Yeah. So I definitely see, like, especially in the times that we live in with the Black Lives Matter movement happening as of like really recently blowing up, even though it's something that's been around a lot, it recently became something that was commodified and something that a lot of people jumped on board for. Yeah. Yet even with that happening and with people outwardly showing their support, there's still a lot of internalized racism. So, you know, I think that another question that should be asked is, how blatant is this homophobia? How blatant is this racism? Because if we're going into the real problem, like as a societal epidemic, essentially, and as an integral part of the structure that we live under, it's something that everybody carries to some degree, mm-hmm. and something that we all actively have towards deconstructing and just ridding ourselves of. So there's, you know, there's always some degree of ignorance that we live under, mm-hmm. and if we're not willing to put in the work to undo it, then it's always going to be something that's a part of us, since we live in a society that's very much based on this. So, you know, I wouldn't judge somebody if they didn't, well, it's not that I wouldn't judge them, because I think that we all have our judgments, yeah. but I wouldn't harshly put somebody in a position in which I would, you know, cause a ruckus with said friend if, for example, they didn't understand some of like the deeper mm-hmm. or more complicated aspects of like anti-racism or social equity and justice. So I just wanted to correct myself there, because if somebody was just like blatantly, really deeply homophobic or racist, then of course there are boundaries to be drawn there.
Going off of what you said and what Gore said earlier as well, I think like just kind of tangentially to this, there's also this like part of this movement of like fake wokeism, like fake social media activism, and you see a lot of people and they have these people in their lives, like partners, boyfriends, whatever, who are pretty like vocally against those things, or, you know, like they're shitty meme lord, like, you know, douches on the internet, and then their partners are the same people who are like posting like black squares and like, you know, all these like beautiful whatever infographics on Instagram, and they're like, be anti-racist, and then they're not holding like the people closest to them accountable for that as well. And I think that is like obviously the furthest extent of this question is pretty like yeah, that person I'd cut off.
No, even between my friend group, there's like still things that are being said that are like, oh, wait, hold up. What's going on up in here? But then I'm having to explain it to them. So now I do see where she's coming from, because like, it does matter like what level it is. So if it's like really blatant, then of course there's no helping that person. But if there's like here and there, you can definitely sit your friend down and let them know like, hey, this is what's going on. This, you know, this, these are the changes that need to be made. And if it's not going to be made, then goodbye.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, when it comes down to like those smaller instances of racism, I think it comes down to like their willingness to grow and change, and also intention. I think it's always intention.
True, true.
So what are your deal breakers in a relationship?
I feel like mine's kind of basic. One would just be like rude. Like just someone who's like rude or mean. I mean, like someone who's bad, that person probably.
If you're already dating someone, then like if you're already dating someone, then they're probably not rude or mean to you. So like, what's a deal breaker if you're in a relationship that you're like, oh, this isn't going to work?
Or like at the, like if you're on like a first date or something and you're like, oh, red flag.
Okay. Like, yeah. Red,
can we do that?
What's a date? I'm kidding. Oh, okay. So one of my biggest pet peeves for first date would definitely be when they chew and they're chewing out loud. I cannot. No, I really will just leave. It's not for me.
Have you just left? Have you like gotten up and left before?
I have. I actually had this one date where like the guy had just picked me up. And it was a pickup truck. And I was like, oh, cool. Great. Work. Got in. And the first thing he said to me, he goes, I don't like your earring. It's too faggy for me. The way I jumped out of that truck.
Oh, tuck and roll out of that truck.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I literally was like, stop. I'm leaving. I'm going back home.
Yeah,
Jesus.
That's just, see, that's what I mean. That's a mean guy.
Yeah.
That's a deal breaker.
Bad kid.
Liam, did you give one besides rude and mean?
I have two now. So a first date kind of like deal breaker red flag is like before we even meet, bad spelling. I can't get past it. I don't know what it is, but if you're like texting me like the letter U or like you just are spelling like, I don't know. I just get like in my head about it. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Anyways, I also, this one's more like further into like you're already started dating or whatever. And then like someone's like, oh, I can't be monogamous. I'm like, that can't work for me.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. I think those are two very fair ones. Call me crazy. Spell.
No one is telling you to defend yourself.
No, you're fine. Don't worry. Okay. Someone in an open relationship, really?
I feel like I have such a specific set of criteria and standards that it would be easier to say and list the specific things that I would be looking for or that I would desire of someone or be tolerant of, just because I feel like I'm very easily like just have a general distaste for people romantically. So since I'm happy just being by myself, I would need that to be like the perfect fit. And if it's anything less than I'd rather just be on my own.
Yeah,
I love that
high
though.
Standards.
Yes, we love high standards.
I think you should have a podcast because I could listen to you for hours.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, Chase has never said that to me.
I have not.
Chase, we're like. You, me, okay, we're leaving. Sorry, bye, Liam.
Wait, is everyone single here, though?
No, I'm not single.
I am not.
Yeah, same. I mean, no, I am. Yeah, I am.
Was that a slip up?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Andre would be my red flag. Andre would be a red flag.
Oh, my God. I am one giant green flag, so I don't know what that's about. But for me, a red flag is people who are like boastful in like a kind of like humble braggy way. You know, like people who like constantly feel the need to like bring up like how much money they make or how much they spent on something or like, you know, their work in like a very inorganic setting, like just to be like, oh, yeah, like I do this.
Or like living in proper Toronto.
Mm. It was actually Toronto proper, he said. Toronto proper.
The shade.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I know you just, you set me up for that, Andre. You really did.
I did. It's okay. I deserve it, though.
I don't know. All I can think of that really turns me off, someone who smells bad. That's just like, no. And also, this one's going to sound really vain. I mean, I don't like... the green text bubble.
Oh my god.
That is...
So, you know, Android, Samsung users, we're gonna swipe left. We're gonna swipe left.
Oh, the funny thing about even just like from Tinder, you can literally already know if their pictures are from an iPhone or an Android. I'm already like, no, sorry.
But what Chase doesn't or forgets to mention is that over half of our listeners are using Google Play. So he's really
I don't have to fuck here. Any of them. Like, they can still listen.
Cancel.
They can still listen. Just don't text me. Liam, does your new man use an iPhone?
No.
Yeah, I knew that.
You would, yes. You're just trying to...
Is that the first question that you asked when you found out that he was dating somebody? Like, so what kind of phone does he have?
But absolutely one of the first.
But Liam did tell me as a disclaimer.
Yeah, because I knew Chase would ask eventually.
Oh my god, I sound terrible. Anyways, next question.
How big of an age gap would you be okay with in a relationship?
Unlimited. Oh.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm fine with a lot. As long as it's older, not younger than me. I don't like guys younger than me. Definitely. That's a deal breaker. Anyone younger than me.
Really?
Just find it weird. Yeah.
Even like a year?
Honestly.
Jim Charles has left the group chat.
Oh.
Oh my God. I agree with that too. I'm 23 years old, and anyone younger than me, I just kind of like don't really like get along with. The oldest person I probably was with was someone who was 47 years old.
How old are you?
I was 20 back then.
Okay. So would you say that's the max, or would you go inverter?
I would probably go further. I don't really care for age.
Yeah, as long as you have stuff to talk about.
I feel like mentality is so much more important than like age. Age is just a number in a lot of senses, but like just because you're 40 doesn't mean you're like have the maturity of a 40-year-old.
Exactly. Totally.
Which is also honestly kind of I almost feel like it's the worst thing. Like if we're mature, like if we're the same maturity level, then I'm almost like, ugh.
True.
The thing of, I don't know. I don't know. It depends where we're both at in life. Because like, I don't want to date, like I'm 23. I don't want to date someone who's 35 and looking to get married and have kids in the next couple of years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm not there. So I don't know. I don't think I would go any further than 10 years older than me.
Well, I think, you know, to not just speak of myself specifically, I feel like whenever I hear this question be asked, there's oftentimes a lot of morality that's attached to the question. And I don't think that in this case, as long as both or more, I guess, parties are consenting adults, there really isn't a question of morality in this aspect. Unless there's, you know, like a clear area in which boundaries are being crossed. So I just would say, like, whatever people want to do in this respect, like, you know, do it. Yeah. Personally, I, you know, like I've thought about it a few times, and I think that it would depend on the person. I, like many of you or all of you, I think, I don't think that I would be compatible with anyone younger than me just because I'm already like in my early 20s. So it's like to date anyone younger than that would be very strange.
Right.
And as far as older goes, like I don't know where I would draw the line. But as long as there were compatibility, then I think that would be the most important element.
Yeah.
True. But you also have to think about like the whole grooming aspect of it, because I'm always scared about that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's scary, yeah.
I think that's where boundaries would be being crossed. Like,
exactly.
If a vulnerable party, like if, especially when, you know, you're talking about like a heteronormative relationship in which there's like these, dynamics being played out where the man is the person pursuing. Typically, there's an element there that's already a little bit creepy when it comes to men pursuing younger women.
That's true. I think
that's definitely something to take into account. But that's definitely a violation of like of boundaries when something like that is occurring.
Yeah, I guess it counts like it comes down to it like a dynamic between like the power as well. Like the oftentimes like there's like a success or stature or something else associated with like an older guy. So it can be predatory, but I get what you're saying. Like on its face, I don't have any issue with it.
Do you want me to read your questions for you because you don't have them?
Yes, please, because I don't have them.
This one is, what is the craziest place you've had sex?
Crickets.
Yeah, mine's not that exciting.
Probably just like a beach, like, yeah, a general outdoor area. Nothing like crazy, but I guess it's like a little bit like taboo.
A beach is kind of nice. It's kind of romantic. I know the situation you're referring to, but...
Oh my God.
I have a good one. Mine wasn't outside. It was in a lab at UBC.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we went into this platelet lab. There was this like, I don't know, he's like, this machine, first of all, before we got into it, he's like showing me around. He's like, this machine, it like wiggles platelets, which are like things in your blood, to separate them, and like that way we can study them. So this whole machine was just like making this like in like the background. It was just like in my head, I was just like, oh my God, cool, jiggling platelets. And yeah, it was just like in a lab, and there wasn't like people. I mean, there were there's like some people there because it was like an office area and the door didn't lock. So that was a little scary.
Is this with your current man's?
No, this was like when I was 18.
I'm like fully debating. I'm like, should I say it?
Yes.
Yes.
Spill it.
Yes.
No, it might get someone in trouble. So I'm like,
keep it vague. Keep it vague.
Was it the Oval Office?
President Trump, I'm kidding. It was one of my teachers in college, let's say that, and it was at school.
Wow. That is some hot goss.
That's literally straight out of a porno.
Also, on this note, not actually on this note at all, but would you ever participate in an orgy?
No. Yes.
That was almost like at the same time. I think I'm a maybe. You could put me down as maybe.
I think I'd like to think I could do it just because I'm very like sexually liberal, like online and everything else. But when it comes to it, like I don't like sharing. So maybe not.
I think I'd get a little stressed out.
That's the
thing, is I'd be like, there's a lot going on.
Did you just say stretched out?
Jeez. I think it would just be a lot of work. I don't think it'd be that enjoyable. But I also think, I want to try it, maybe. Like to say I've done it.
I like the idea of it. I don't know if I could actually do it.
Yeah, it's more like when I'm, if I'm old, you know what I mean? Like at a senior's home. And it's like on my bucket list.
All the orgies that happen at seniors' homes.
Oh, they get crazy. You're telling me they don't get crazy up in there? They get wild. They literally, this is a thing. Like senior centers, they get STD breakouts.
Wild. They always do. I used to work at a senior. I volunteered in one. They do. Yes, they do. It's like a common thing. And it's just like, it's something that the nurses there talk about too. And you're just like, huh, okay, cool. How do they find a time to do this?
They got all day.
Oh my God.
That's true too. They got all day.
Definitely. I feel like it's so weird how we just like discount people's sexuality because they're like old, whatever that means, as if they like don't have the same brains that we have.
Literally. Literally.
That's true too.
Guest dog appearance.
Woo-hoo. Oh my God.
This is an audio only podcast, so it is unfortunate that you guys can't see this dog, but I will I can bark for her. Bark!
Jesus Christ.
That's the dog. That's the dog barking.
So where have you felt the least safe as a queer person?
In white spaces.
In what spaces?
I'm going to say it. In predominantly cisgender white spaces. Unfortunately, I was going to say just around straight people, but it's the same with gay people too, unfortunately. So, yeah. not really comfortable being around that situation.
Understandable.
I think retrospectively, I'd say high school, but at the time I just kind of like internalized it and didn't really think of how that was, how that did actually make me feel. But looking back, I'd say probably high school. If not, then definitely like any kind of sexually, like heterosexually charged environment. So like a nightclub or like a frat party or just like too many drunk straight people. That's always the worst.
I would definitely echo white spaces specifically. I lived throughout all of Trump's presidency in Tijuana, which is a frontier city in which I would cross the border every day into San Diego. And throughout the 4 years of Trump's presidency, I traveled throughout the states a lot. And I think that that's a time where, you know, the overlap of being both brown and queer definitely made itself more apparent in the way in which I was treated on, you know, within my life.
It really, his whole presidency really emboldened a lot of fucking terrible people.
Oh, absolutely.
Now they're loud and proud.
Has a lasting impact, you know. Now we've been under Biden's presidency, not for long, but I think that I didn't think that the impact that Trump had, just like amplifying the wrong voices and making people's racism feel validated and justified, is, you know, it's going to be really hard to undo that.
I mean, just like during Pride Month, like recently at Hallands, this gay guy who is also a person of color got attacked, severely like attacked. Like he was like, he had to like go into hip surgery because he had a fracture. And then if you look up what happened in London, Ontario, where like this white supremacist ran over an entire family of a Muslim family and left just one kid behind. And recently there's also just been, there's like, they're occupying our spaces as well. Like at Hamlet's recently, there was like this human trafficking situation. Straight people are showing up more often there and just creating like a harsh environment for everyone. And so that's why this weekend we're all actually gathering together. Me and my friends, all my brown friends got together and we're like, guess what we're doing for Pride? We're gonna go into white spaces and we're gonna make ourselves known. So we're bringing every brown, black, any kind of POC person to the beach just to kind of bother them a little bit, you know, and let them know that we're here and we're not going anywhere, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
That is fun.
I know.
But I'm sorry, what is Hanlon's? Hanlon's? Is that like a...
Oh, so Hanlon's is like a, it's a beach in the Toronto Islands. It's a nude beach. So it's more like, it's mostly like a queer space. So like a lot of the gay community, a lot of the LGBTQ plus community goes there just to like, you know, feel safe, be with their friends. And, you know, do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And recently, it's just been, like, a lot more straight people and them just not understanding the fact, like, hey, you are welcome here. It's not like it's a gay-only space, but you have to understand that this is a safe space for queer people. So you need to, like, tone it down and understand, like, your privilege against ours.
Yeah. Interesting. I've not heard of it.
I think I feel the most uncomfortable in straight clubs. I've talked about it on the podcast before. I feel I won't go to a straight club anymore. I mean, no one's going to any clubs right now here, but but when things go back to normal, I'm swearing off straight clubs, especially after COVID. Like, my time is precious and I won't spend it in a straight club ever again.
Nope.
I when I go to the club, I like to dress a little feminine, you know what I mean? And I feel like that, especially in a straight club, I'll find myself dressing down or changing how I want to dress just so I'll present,
like, toning it down.
Just so I'll present more masculine. I don't know, straight clubs, not for me, never again.
Also, I'm not really a fan of Michaela jumping on me being like, yes, queen, while I'm barely doing anything. Like, no, Miss Mamas, we're not doing this.
Not Michaela.
Second question is, does somebody's sexual history matter? Why or why not?
Not at all to me.
Only in the extent that, like, this is also something this brought me back to what I was going to say for red flags. Like, if their sexual history, like, hurt people, like, if they cheated on someone, I think that's, that I think counts as part of your sexual history, I would argue. But not, like, no, if they were... they were hoeing it out back in the day. I mean, all the power to you. I think sexual health is important and you have to be forthcoming about, you know, any sort of issues. But I also think, you know, particularly in like with gay men, there's a big stigma around HIV in particular and a lot of misinformation and uneducated people. So I understand the weariness, but I think it's just important to be open and honest as much as possible with your partner, especially if you're like being intimate.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, how would you feel including sexual health with sexual history? How would you feel if someone you were dating told you they were positive?
Well, if you're positive and undetectable, that's different than just being positive and carrying a viral load as well. So I think, and even then, there's still ways to be very safe about having sex with someone who has HIV. So, you know, it's all about like safety and honesty and like
communication,
both being comfortable.
I agree, Liam. Very well said.
Yeah, I can be, I can be a real adult too, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't think about it in that aspect. Like, obviously, if you've hurt someone before, I'm obviously going to look at you like, oh, hold up. I'm very also not really open to guys that are not like, if they come off too strong, I'm already kind of like backing off just because I've had experiences before that have been like really bad. So I always take a look at that first and I'm like, if they're coming through and they're being like very gentle about things, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm down. I feel comfortable. But the moment it becomes a little too strong, I'm kind of like, hold up.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that. I think for me, it's like your history is your past. And like, that really doesn't have a lot to do with me at the end of the day. I mean, obviously I agree with what Liam said in that if your past is like hurt people or, you know, like been something like negative that like has a potential to like negatively impact like our dynamic, then like that's like definitely going to be something we need to like discuss. But for the most part, like whether you have like a ton of experience or none at all or like anywhere in between, it's just like we're going forward, we're not looking back, you know.
I feel like that's a really good thing about like at least the LGBTQ plus community, because I know with like a lot of my straight girlfriends, once they found out that the girl slept with like their boyfriend, it just like for the most part, it's always just them being like, oh, I don't like her. I was like, why? Why? It's done with. You're with him and that's done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to trust your partner enough to be like, they're not going to go back to that person. They're not like, obviously, you know, going to make you upset in that way.
Yeah, that's true.
I never understood when people would, like girlfriends of mine would be so incredibly uncomfortable with their boyfriends remaining amicable with past partners. Like, I feel like it's such a normalized thing. And even when like, a guy cheats on someone, it's like the two girls are mad at each other. Like, just like, I don't know what it is.
I think that in that specific scenario, I think that it points a lot to the ways in which, we like subject ourselves to patriarchal standards because we are so used to as women, like having our womanhood be demonized to a certain degree that there's, you know, there's definitely a hierarchy that is just like ingrained in the way in which we're trained to perceive the world, whether it be as, you know, women, men or other. And I, you know, I think that that's a very common trend is that women are constantly pinned against each other, not even just in that scenario, but literally any imaginable. So I think that that definitely has like a clear root.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even just a problem with like, I would say straight people, even when it comes to the gay community, there's so much misogyny that's involved. Things such as like even like artists, like pop artists, like the way people fight on Twitter and like pin women's against each other. Meanwhile, you're seeing men supporting like male artists, just like no one's like fighting over anything. Everyone's being supported equally. You know what I mean? Because it's always been like women against women.
Yeah, and that's why we have to just support women, you know? Like, and I think that as a just like in the times that we live in and in our generation, we're doing a good job of just demystifying the patriarchy. Like, there, you know, these things are becoming clearer to us, especially as women, where we can recognize this as the root cause, recognize that within ourselves, and do the work towards just recognizing that the problem isn't us and the problem isn't other women. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, within myself, I have hope that this is something that, like, we will collectively be able to work against and towards something that just allows us to live as ourselves without this ingrained nature of having to compete as women and compete to be women.
Yeah.
Go and, women.
Yeah. And thanks for being here, because I think it's special to have that perspective, like, from a woman. So
Thank you. And I appreciate being here. And, you know, I love hearing queer voices. And I do think that it's important as well to have, you know, female queer voices, because there's definitely a difference. And I've heard it within the community from all genders that it's a perspective that is oftentimes missing. And it's great to see it be represented. And I'm glad to be that today.
Yeah, that's like the biggest thing I think we wanted to do with these was, because obviously the show we're basing this on was like all cisgendered gay men, and that just would have been so tired and not such a single perspective. Like, so I'm glad that we can include, like, our first one had a non-binary person, like, so it's great.
I love the initiative. Yes.
Who has questions? Who has questions left? I think I have one left.
I have one left.
Right. So I have two left.
Yes.
Okay.
Stop. So Chase is giving the last two.
This one actually kind of connects to what we were just talking about. Is cheating ever justified?
No.
No, I would say no.
Why not?
Because if you
justify it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying it is. I just want to pick your brain.
I think no, because no. I mean, if you, like, for whatever, if the relationship is so bad that you have to cheat, then you should break up before you cheat. Like, if you're in a really shitty relationship, then that doesn't still make it okay to cheat. It just means your relationship is just now extra shitty because you also now cheated.
Yeah.
Like, you're just kind of shoving shit on the shit. Or if it's really good and you cheat, then no, why'd you cheat? And if it's okay and then you cheated, then again, like, why did you cheat?
I'd say that my answer is just as clear as it's a violation of boundaries, and it's a violation of consent as well. Because when people are engaging in a relationship, what makes it consensual emotionally is that we have these predetermined and pre-established boundaries. And once those are crossed, it's no longer consensual. So I think that it, you know, it goes beyond just being something that's hurtful. It's also something that is deeply destructive.
Wait, just let me give you a what if. Okay.
He's devil's advocate today.
What if someone's in a relationship that's unsafe for them to leave and they cheat with someone else?
I would say that's not cheating, because I would say the unsafety of that, the lack of safety, instantly ended the relationship. It's no longer a relationship. Now it's more of a, like, a criminal dynamic. Yeah, it's like a, it's like a, it's not a relationship anymore.
Yeah.
And going back to boundaries too, like, for example, if you do cheat with someone, it's obviously you're breaking someone's trust. But in terms of consent too, if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you obviously aren't using things such as condoms or anything that, you know, protects you from such, and they're giving you their trust to, like, not, you know, give them anything, and things that are, like, normal, like gonorrhea, chlamydia, that's fine. That's still very shitty if someone, you know, cheats on you and gives you that, but at least it's something that you can, you know, just pass along.
Yeah,
but if it's something that's serious, like, especially with women, because sometimes if you cheat with someone, they don't think to get, like, their sexual health checked, and then there's so many things that can ruin things, such as, like, their pregnancy chances, their hormones. There's so many things that come into aspect when it comes to women as well.
Don't cheat.
Fuck cheating.
I just want to make it clear, cheat. I don't support cheating. I just wanted to, you know.
Jace loves cheating on tests. Cheating.
I didn't actually mean, like, sexually cheating. I meant cheating on a test.
Never okay.
No. Same answer. This is a bit of a heavy one. Have you ever felt disconnected from your culture or religion because you identify as queer?
I'd say yeah. I mean, I don't really identify as religious, so I guess that can't really work for me right now. But I would say, like, growing up, I was still probably consider myself, like, religious and, you know, believing in God, and I'd still go to church occasionally. And I think that was, not difficult, but, like, just mentally, like, was challenging to kind of, like, navigate, like, how do I fit both of these things into my life? But I've since kind of moved away from the church in general. But even then, within that, I mean, when it comes to my culture, like, first of all, I'm white, so it's not a whole lot going on. But I am also Italian, and I have very, like, traditional Italian grandparents, and they don't know I'm gay, so they'll never know. And it was just always kind of thing like, oh, just don't tell them, because that's, you know, just don't, it's not gonna work out, you know what I mean? It's just,
you'll never tell them. You don't think you'll ever tell them?
No. Well, my nono is 95 and he can't hear very well. Well, so I think it's past the point. And then my nona has died.
I think that Mexico has a very harmful overlap to LGBTQ+ people and other marginalized groups due to the fact that it's both a very conservative country and very deeply historically Catholic, like post-colonialism. So it has the downside of, oh, and to add another one into the mix, it's also very much like a lower income third world country. So there's a lack of education, a lot of ignorance, as well as politically it's conservative, as well as very Catholic. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of elements that are put into play when it comes to topics such as being queer. So with that said, personally, I have definitely, especially with living there, you know, over the course of my life, I've spent many years living within Mexico, and it's difficult, especially in states that, you know, have more poverty, especially due to the fact that that comes with having less access to education, because, you know, it still carries so many just harmful ideas that, you know, act in a way that makes it just totally unsafe for queer people to exist. And there's a lack of queer spaces as well. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate enough that in Tijuana, which is, again, said a frontier city, with it being directly across the border from California, there's a lot of American influence, and that comes with a lot of progressive influence. So it's definitely a lot more open, and there are a lot, like, there's an abundance of queer spaces, and the politics are, you know, more progressive and liberal, but that can't be said for most places within Mexico.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. And sad.
I would say for me, I don't know, I feel like I kind of exist in, like, a weird intersection, because, you know, obviously with the history of queerness within the Black community, you know, it's something that was, like, most communities not really celebrated or accepted to a large extent. But then at the same time, like, you know, throughout the 20th century and, you know, until today, there's been, like, so many people within, like, the LGBT movement, like, prominent people who are, like, Black and African American, who have been, like, so influential and sort of, like, guiding that movement forward. So, like, I don't know, it's weird because, like, on one hand you have, like, spaces where it's, like, so unaccepted and, like, not okay, but then, like, other spaces where it's, like, so celebrated and, like, so many people are, like, Black or mixed, you know. And it's kind of like a weird duality in that sense, where it's like, I definitely have existed in, like, particular Black spaces where I'm like, okay, I need to, like, mask it up a little bit, you know, like, just tone it down, like, 10%. But then others, it's like, all right, you want to go the inverse and, like, turn it up, like, 50%, and, you know, like, really just be your most authentic self, because it's, like, so, so accepted. And it's just, like, you know, being, like, I feel like being, like, queer and Black is, like, almost, like, you know, the I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I guess it's just, like, yeah, like, accept, like, just so accepted in that space and, like, celebrated as well, you know, particularly, like, your Blackness as a queer person in certain spaces. So, yeah, a bit of both.
I am white, so I don't really think I have a culture. I was. I mean, my mother is considers herself a Christian, and my grandparents were both fairly heavily religious. My grandfather just passed away a year and a half ago, and I did tell him I was gay before he died, and I was surprised that he really didn't care. My grandmother died when I was 8, so before I realized I was queer. Mm-hmm. And I have, since I've come out, which was 10 years ago now, I have always wondered what she would think. And I'm not entirely confident that she would have been okay with it, which is a whole other, like, conflicting thing in my brain about, because on one hand, like, she was my world, like, I loved her so much. And then I'm also thinking, like, but what if she didn't accept the queer thing? And, like, those are just answers I'll obviously never have, but that's the only time I feel like religion has affected how I think about my queerness.
Mm-hmm. In terms of my situation, so I guess since being South Asian is already just like, you know, being gay isn't even uttered. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Philippines actually, so I actually went to a Catholic school. I, you know, was learning about Jesus while being a Sikh or part of Sikhism. And so it was a lot of like cultural identity was like really missing towards it, because I was like so overwhelmed with like two different cultures, and then moving to Canada and it was just like a whole new thing. But I just remember growing up and just being like ridiculed for just being feminine all the time. It's so, I like how he mentioned, he was like, oh, gotta mask it up a little bit. I never even thought of that because those conversations were never even made at all. I just remember being at like house parties with families, and I'd be sat down with my uncles, and they'd just be like, you gotta act this, you gotta do this, otherwise we're gonna like kick you out of here, we're gonna like send you away, things like that. So it was just like really scary growing up. So I couldn't really focus on religion or anything else besides just being like, I need to be safe. Mm-hmm. Which is why I really worked on just like coming to Canada. So I came here in 2016 and I've just been like good. Unfortunately, I still haven't been able to come out though, just because my mom's not fully on board. My dad and I have never had the conversation. My mom will still pretend like it's not a thing, and she'll be like, oh, do you have a girlfriend now? Mom, I am the girlfriend. But no, yeah, it's a very tough thing for a lot of brown, especially a lot of brown queer people. When I talk to my friends here, they tell me that they went through the whole situation of being like, oh, they had to pretend they were masked, they had to like do all that to hide behind that. And I was like, I don't understand why I never did that myself. That would have protected me like a lot more. But it was just never something that I thought about. It was just me and being ridiculed the whole time. So maybe next time.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry you had to deal
thank
with
you
that.
Everyone for talking about this. I know this is definitely a heavy end to
heavy
our
one.
Sure, round table. I'm glad I saved the heaviest question for last. Like, now we're all just depressed.
It was a good one.
We're gonna talk about, I actually didn't warn you guys, so I'm gonna put you on the spot, but we usually all give a song of the week, like what song we've been vibing with this week.
Right. So, I forgot about this. Oh, I have mine actually.
Oh, you forgot about this. We've done it for 21 weeks.
I forgot we were doing it with them.
I'm actually excited. I always like wait for this part of the podcast episode to come on, and I like always think like, what song am I listening to this week?
Well, what song are you listening to this week?
Yeah, start us off.
I have been really into this song called Hello by Axel Bowman.
Axel Bowman, is that like similar to Adele?
No, it is not similar to Adele. Yeah, no,
I've never heard of
similar
that.
To Adele.
Axel, Adele, yeah. It's similar. You see,
it's kind of old.
What's
it's from
vibe?
Like 2013.
What's the vibe?
It's kind of like dancey, like EDM, kind of like, not EDM, sorry, but like house, like kind of like chill, just kind of like funky, you know, good vibes.
Mine is XS by Rina Sawayama.
Love it.
You didn't say that one. That is such a good song.
I didn't say that one yet? Okay, good.
No.
I always forget. Sometimes I forget what ones I got.
That whole album. That whole album is so good.
Yeah, I just came onto that song actually, and I was like, dang, this is kind of fun.
I've been playing it around you for a long time.
I know.
So I'm so glad. My song, I've been really getting into Dua Lipa again. Mm. Just go through phases of listening to her nonstop and then not listening to her at all. So right now we're listening to her.
Dua Peep.
Thank you. I was gonna say Dua Peep. I didn't think anyone would get the reference. So I'm so glad.
I got it.
But the song that I've been listening to the most right now is Pretty Please, which I think is an underappreciated song.
So good. Yeah.
On Future Nostalgia. Yeah, it's so good.
As I mentioned with you guys, I'm currently in the process of moving. Well, I mean, technically I'm already moved in. And even then, I've still just been listening to Our House by Crosby a lot because I'm so happy to be living in a new house with my lovely, wonderful partner and to get to build a home with her.
Aww. Oh, that's so sweet.
That's like a
Every single answer you've given makes me want to cry, like in the best way.
Truly, I love that. Mine would definitely be not to be that gay, but POV by Ariana Grande has been like hitting differently recently. It's her third single from her album. Whoever's with the name, please go stream, support. I mean, I think he already knows I'm such a huge Ariana Grande fan. It's just like,
yeah, I didn't love the album. Don't come for me.
You don't got to. Don't be sorry. No, don't be sorry. Just be careful.
Ooh. Ooh. And that's where we'll end, folks. That's where we'll
end. I'm kidding.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. It was so sweet.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
That was so much fun, everyone. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
That was so much fun. That was fun.
Maybe a little, maybe a touch heavy at the end.
Yeah, we did hit on some poignant discussion.
Who the fuck is honking outside?
It's Friday. It's garbage day. The garbage truck probably.
Is honking? Why?
It's alerting everyone. Your garbage is about to go.
I can hear it beeping too.
You know what would be fun? A garbage party every week when your garbage gets picked up and you go and play in the street for like an hour after your garbage is gone.
There's nothing that sounds more fun to me than a garbage party.
Right? That does sound cool.
Anyway.
You litter everywhere.
Okay. Thanks to everyone who shared their perspectives.
Yes. We just want to, again, mention to everyone all these people's informations. If you want to reach out to them, if you want to DM them.
And or just support them.
If you want to. I know Andre loves attention, so. It's okay. We're friends. I always tease. I tease. Unless you do want to give him attention, I don't think he'd be mad. You can give me attention, too, actually.
Jesus.
Just on that note as well, my DMs are not open, actually. I have a boyfriend, but I do like getting hit on nonetheless.
His DMs are closed, but he'll look.
I'll be like, aw, thanks.
Aw, delete.
Yeah. I bought food for a homeless man the other day, and he said if anyone tries...
Did you say you bought fluid?
No, food. I would not buy fluid. Okay. I would never buy fluid in my life. I bought food for a homeless man yesterday, or a couple days ago, and he said, if you ever feel like killing yourself, don't. And I said, thank you. Because that's a nice thing to say.
It's kind of pure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways, if you want to DM me things like that, that's nice.
Okay.
So.
I don't really know where to go from there.
Yeah, that was fun.
So you can follow us on Instagram. Uncomfortable.
Why?
If you want to DM me, don't kill myself. You can do that.
It's true, you can.
Well, you can find us on Instagram at @2servingspod.
@2servingspod.
Also on Twitter.
Yes.
@2servingspod.
Twitter is active.
Twitter is semi-active.
I have a reminder to post every other day, so yeah. That's active. Also, don't forget, everyone. Fucking giveaway.
Yeah, when this goes live, this will be the last week to join the giveaway. Yeah, so
you're running out of time.
Don't be a loser.
If you want these items, Get in now.
Don't be a loser. I think we have 600 entries. Don't be a loser.
Don't tell people that. That makes it sound like it's hard to win.
We only have 6 entries. You can win.
We have 600 entries, but the average entry is 150 entries.
Sure. So you can join at twoservingspod.com.
And the .com.
Yeah, .com.
Yeah.
And leave us a 5-star mother effing review. What is up with you?
What's up? It's 11:30 in the morning.
Exactly. It's 11:30 in the morning. You can leave us a 5-star review if you're a nice person on Apple Podcasts. Please do that.
If you don't do that, one of us is going to die. Who? That's up to you.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
What a fucking mess.